Hey, Kevin Downey here with AccuMax Index. Today, I've got our founder and CEO, Jay Hauerluck, on the line. Jay, how are you today?
Doing well, Kevin, and how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Thanks for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy, but it's great to have you. What we want to talk about today is just a little background on you and AccuMax Index and how it got started and foundations and all that stuff. If you want to take it away, I know our listeners would love to hear about it.
Sounds good. Well, the AccuMax Index is considered a personality assessment, but it's not a personality assessment.
Okay.
We're very unique in the marketplace. We measure innate human wiring. And human wiring occurs in any human being across the planet between the 18 and 24 month period after birth. And basically what happens is humans are one of the very few beings that are born without a fully functioning brain. The brain continues to develop after birth. Okay. In that 18 to 24 month time period, certain chemicals come together in the brain and they create specific neural pathways. Now there's millions of neural pathways created, but we measure four as they apply to business and relationships. And let's face it, business is just relationships. But a great example of wiring is commonly the terrible twos or threes, because that's when a wiring pattern is its purest.
Yeah.
It hasn't been implicated by nurture. Those are outside things, you know, where I'm born, culture, upbringing. So it's a deep dive into an individual. And your wiring is static throughout your entire lifetime. So it also tells us the environment in which you best thrive and when you're the most productive and less stressed. You know, there's good stress and bad stress. And, you know, good stress is meeting deadlines, you know, accomplishments, goals, things like that. Bad stress is when you have to try and change yourself. And a unique characteristic of the human mind is that we can force ourselves to do anything, and we can force our wiring to change. However, that's counterproductive. Okay. Because stress can, you know, it just rules its ugly head, either physically, emotionally, or, you know, mentally, and can have a negative impact on people. And so understanding how somebody is wired understands the environment in which they most thrive, they're most productive. More importantly, as an employee, they're most satisfied in the role and therefore less tempted to leave and chase other opportunities.
Which is hugely important right now in hiring. Obviously, you know, employee retention, one of the hottest topics out there right now, hands down. So go back, if you don't mind, go back to, okay, the basics of it. It's an assessment product, right? Right.
So it's
an assessment at its core, and it measures that innate human wiring and helps identify what kinds of roles someone is best suited for in a company.
Absolutely. Okay. And the best example I can give is a lot of companies hire somebody from a competitor and they did a great job there, but they don't do a great job at the new company. And the reason being is because the wiring requirements, people have wiring, jobs have wiring, could be very, very different. And so we have an assessment that, you know, gives you a plethora of information. I mean, how somebody's orientation to ideas, how they accept conflict, how they communicate, whether they want a heads up or heads down environment, their work style, how they handle pressure, decision making. You know, jobs are the same. Jobs have that as well. When you align the two, I'm naturally more productive because I'm not wasting energy in trying to change myself.
With
our assessment, it takes less than 5 minutes to complete. It's incredibly accurate. We're EEOC compliant and statistically validated, so clients can use it in the pre-hire process.
Yeah, and I've taken it. So, I mean, I was amazed at the accuracy when reading it and reading the dots. And obviously we're not on screen for this, but people could visualize, go to your website, see what it looks like in the reporting. I mean, the accuracy is, I was absolutely amazed. But go back. How did this come about? I mean, how did you get started in doing this in the first place?
Well, what happened is actually about 22 years ago, I quite by accident fell into the personality assessment. I was working for a lean manufacturing company, and we did process improvements in manufacturing plants. However, the behavioral department for the company was, well, I can sum it up with this. You know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. I actually went looking for an assessment or something to help in my research. A company actually reached out, offered me a position, and I took it. So I got involved in the assessment arena. But the majority of assessments are based on the social sciences. Right. During my tenure there, I got very interested in the neural sciences. And so that's what makes us so unique in the arena is that all personality assessments are based on social sciences. And people change. Their behavior changes. Things change in their lifetime. But the neural sciences, which is actually becoming a very hot topic, are static. So not only can you cut through and see who exactly the individual is, you can analytically create wiring patterns for jobs. And so you, when you match the two, number one, the employee is happier, more productive, they retain in the company. A good example is I might be in a field that I'm not a good match for, and I think I can go to another company and go to another company, or the grass is always greener syndrome. But it's really the fact that maybe I'm not a fit for it. And then because we also measure where people get their self-confidence, how they're motivated, clients can use that information to retain people. Motivators are simply the non-monetary things I want for job satisfaction. You know, do I want a lot of autonomy? Do I want a lot of people interaction? You know, do I enjoy a structured or process-driven environment? Those are all important things. So when you can do that and you can motivate people, and motivators to a wiring pattern are like food to the body. You know, we eat, we get energy. When you give supplied motivators to your wiring pattern, it gives you energy and satisfaction, and it helps retain individuals. The misnomer is somebody leaves for a buck more down the street. That's not why they're leaving. You know, they're leaving because they're not a fit and they don't feel properly appreciated. A lot of great resignation that's going on is because people don't feel appreciated by the companies that they work for. Appreciation is more than just money or a bonus or recognition. It's giving me the innate things that satisfy my wiring pattern, those motivators. And when employers can do that, what they found is productivity goes up, employee satisfaction goes up, and most importantly, retention goes up.
So the assessment basically cuts through. So when your brain is developing, right, and you mature and you get older, you have all of these things that you learn in society to temper your behaviors, right, from a natural inclination, that, let's say, hardwiring. And so what AccuMax Index does is it cuts through all of that and gets to that innate hardwiring, which is where people, if I'm doing something I'm not innately wanting to do or don't fit with, I have to exhaust energy, right, to continue to do that and overcome it and deal with it and all that stuff. So it matches people more to what they're innately built for. And therefore, it's easier for them to be satisfied and continue to do that work.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, jobs have wiring patterns and people have wiring patterns. Correct. And you could have a lot of different wiring responsibilities within a same environment. So, for example, you know, law. You know, you have litigators, you have transactional attorneys. You know, in medicine, you know, emergency care people are going to be different than intensive care. But when you match that, this is kind of the example I like to give. You know, when you walk into work and your wiring doesn't match the job, it's like you're attaching two cinder blocks to your feet and you're clumping through work all day, taking all that extra energy. But when you're in an environment that matches your wiring, your job, it's like you walk in and you take an energy drink in the morning and you get energy. It's why in any organization you'll go through and there you have people that love the job they do, others that are, it's okay, and others that absolutely dislike their role. But if you know the wiring for people in a job, then you can attract others that love their job. You know how to motivate them, give them the things that they need for retention that also creates loyalty and longevity in an organization.
So the most important value here, and certainly, again, we said this, I think, a little bit, is that, I mean, employee retention has got to be one of the hottest topics for companies in the United States right now. I mean, there's just, it's so expensive to lose people and replace people, right? I mean, what's the adage that they say? Is it a year, almost a year's salary in total lost revenue plus replacement training and getting people up to speed in a job?
Oh, absolutely. If turnover were a line item on a financial statement, companies would really have an aha moment, because a lot of companies rationalize it. Well, you know, 40% turnover, 50% turnover, that's standard in my industry. No, it's not. And the biggest reason is because they just accept that it is an is factor, as opposed to saying, how can we analytically approach this with real data to ensure that we have the right individuals in our organization? And then once I get good individuals in there, how do I groom them for advancement? Some people want advancement and some don't. And, you know, that's fine. Some people just enjoy coming in, doing their job, and they don't want to advance. Others want to advance. But then you can eliminate the Peter principle, you know, promoting somebody to their highest level of incompetence, which companies do. You know, they take great individuals, they promote them, it's not a fit, so they not only lose a great producer, but then they lose the individual as a supervisor or manager.
So an example, just because obviously, you know, I have a sales background, so I'm trying to tie it to maybe my background a little bit personally, but someone who is necessary, who is a very good salesperson, that is a great account manager, is many employers and owners would assume that that person would be an exceptional lead generator, cold caller, business development representative. And that is not the case at all, right? They're almost not opposites, but they're very, very different roles. So in other words, somebody that's like a sales hunter and someone that has to chase business, and then once they get that customer, that is a very different job and personality, if you want to call it that, or, you know, type of person than someone that has to, that wants to work with customers and manage them, so to speak. Is that fair or accurate?
Oh, it's very fair. I mean, You know, sales is like this encompassing thing. When they say engineering, well, are you a process engineer? Are you a manufacturing engineer? Are you a design engineer? Well, it's the same thing with sales. You know, Are you business development? Are you customer service? Are you more driven for route sales? And when you dump it all into one bucket, it gets confusing. It's every client we've ever talked to has at some point in time hired the next greatest employee. And then 90 days later, they're scratching their head and they're saying, who is this person? What planet are they from? Why aren't they performing like they interviewed? And because it's usually because it's the type of job that's required. Different wiring for route sales or customer service or account management or business development. Different wiring patterns for that. And when you align them, they're more productive to the organization.
Okay, so then when it comes to hiring, and again, we can use sales as an example, but it could be any specific role in a company. If, you know, you have jobs that require certain knowledge and experience in order to do the job. So in other words, stamped engineers, accountants, you know, that are licensed or, you know, have their certifications. There are certain jobs, legal, that you have to have that experience, certification, coders, programmers, that stuff. But then we take jobs in human resources and customer service and sales and other things like that, where it's more talent oriented, and the exact experience, anything in that kind of role can pretty much be taught. So my question to you would be, in those kinds of roles specifically, and we can say sales, for example, how do you feel when you look at Acumax Index and applying it in a company, how important is experience in a job to success in hiring if a client is using Acumax Index?
Well, you want to always consider background and skill set first and wiring second. Here's a good example. I may have a great wiring pattern for an orthopedic surgeon, but if I haven't been to medical school, not going to do very good.
No, right, of course.
So some jobs require that, you know, I mean, obviously in medicine where you
have
education, but what we're finding in the workforce right now is companies can actually develop their own workforce. You know, are salespeople born or made? They're born for the type of salesperson they're going to be. You can then teach them the skills. And a lot, that's what's going on in a lot of skilled trades right now. There's certain wiring that excels as an electrician or a welder or a skilled tradesman. And so companies are finding that if I get the right wiring, I can then teach them those skills. And there's a lot of people in the marketplace, younger talent right now, that's saying, I don't know if I really want to go to college and cumber myself with all of this debt. And then so they're attracting them in. We have a client that does skilled trade.
Yep.
And before Acumax, they were hiring classes of 10 people at a time and maybe keeping one. Now that retention rate's gone up to 7 out of 10. And so nothing is perfect, but a 70% retention in the class versus a 10%, they're thrilled. Because when you're spending all that time and effort to teach somebody something, if I'm not a fit for it, you know, I may drop out or leave after a few months. So the ability to create your own workforce, whether it's sales or skilled trades, things that don't require extensive education, like engineering or medicine, that's a real opportunity right now for companies in the marketplace.
Okay. So in the case of, let's just say sales, because we were on that topic, if you say sales hiring generically, are you more akin to looking at somebody that has, if you have a client that is looking for sales in an industry, are you more likely to tell them to go after someone that has experience and success in the industry, or maybe just experience, not necessarily success? Or do you like them to go find the people that fit the wiring first and then develop them, train them on the products and services and develop them, meaning young, you know, typically younger kids out of school, kids with maybe one professional, you know, job so far, but have so much upside? Is there one proper direction or the other for hiring if someone's using Acumax Index in that regard?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're selling. You know, a highly technical engineered type project, type of product, you would want somebody who has that background. You know, depending on the sales, though, there's an awful lot. You know, we have a commercial sales company out in California, and they've stopped hiring for background and skill set. They've started hiring for wiring, and they're teaching individuals. And here's a couple of values that have helped them. They're finding the wiring that works in their industry. Then they're teaching the people the sales skill set. Because what they're finding is oftentimes people who've been in the industry come with, you know, some bad habits, or you hear, you know, that's not how we did it at ABC company. So it kind of depends on the industry, how much required education and background and skill set.
Right.
But there's a lot of flexibility in that. So if it comes down where you have to have, let's say you have to have an engineering degree because you're in engineering sales, look at background skill set first, wiring pattern second. If they both match, you bring them in for an interview. If they don't, you don't. If it's an industry that doesn't need that, where you can teach that skill, then yes, you look at wiring pattern first. So there's some flexibility based upon industry and type of job.
Okay. And so with Acumax Index, how client base, what are the, I mean, obviously you can work with any employer. Where do you see it applied maybe more often than others in your history? Because you've been around, how long has Acumax been around?
We've been around almost 10 years.
Okay.
What we have found is companies that embrace processes and understand the value of processes.
Okay.
Are more successful because we are a process. And so they're more successful in sticking to it. Companies that usually don't have a process are the ones that are going to say, well, you know, we can kind of go off in this direction or off in this direction. And they usually get burned. I mean, it's sometimes part of a learning curve. I mean, we get calls to say, well, we had a candidate, we knew we shouldn't have hired them, because the software will tell you who you should interview and who you shouldn't interview.
Right.
And we did anyway. And they didn't work out. And our response is always, that's good. Glad you did it. Now don't do it again. But initially, companies that have a process, embrace it better than companies that don't. And that's one of the things we try and teach in any organization is if you have a process in manufacturing, then you can follow the same process in hiring. If you don't have process, a lot of creative firms or that don't, you want to institute a specific process into your hiring, which allows you to get better hiring results. It saves you time and money.
Oh, well, I mean, again, I think it is often underestimated, the cost, and I'm sure employers don't want to know the answer. It's like you said, if the CFOs saw on a line on a P&L the cost to replace people, I mean, they would, I'm sure they would go crazy, right? I mean, it's just, it is so expensive. I think back in my career to the value of tenured sales professionals that were successful in a territory and how long it took a new person, if they were really successful, replacing them and catching up on those numbers took time. I mean, it just, and that's with an existing customer base. If you don't have an existing customer base, I just think the cost to get somebody ramped up in a job, find them, replace, train, get them caught up and make sure they're going to be a fit. Not to mention you could lose them again. That's an expensive proposition.
Well, plus it also creates a negative to the company. If every time, you know, for 3 months, I have one salesperson, and 3 months later, I have another salesperson. And then 3 months later,
exactly.
It creates like, what's going on at this company? Why is there so much turnover? Because consistency, a visual consistency, that same person with that expertise, is more powerful for the company because number one, you know, the salesperson learns about the company. They learn about their customer. They know different things. Every time you replace, it starts all over again. Hi, here's your new salesperson. And oh, by the way, they probably don't know a lot about it. We'll try and give as much as possible. Help us educate them on what they need. So it creates that negative brand image also.
If you call a company, I mean, if you have a relationship with a company and you're a consumer and you have a customer service rep at a company, or you're a business and you have a customer service rep at a company, and that, and you like that customer service rep, and then they change, like that constantly changing gives you a negative image about the company, right? It just makes you feel like they're not very stable.
Well, you know, absolutely. I just went through this myself. We had a great rep that handled our IRA, you know, through an organization.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're not an Acumax client. He was great and then got promoted and said, well, you know, you're going to deal with this other person. With the other individual we had, always prompt on calls, very efficient, new things. Sets us up with this new guy. We have an appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:05, 10:10, no call. Have to call in. They have to hunt the person down.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry, I forgot. And that's really puts a bad taste in people's mouth. It sure did for us. And actually, we're thinking about switching who handles our IRA.
Exactly. So, I mean, just the negative impact that can have. And then if you talk about positions that aren't customer facing, so talk about internal positions like, you know, a spot on the factory floor or whatever. If you have constant turnover in those positions, it, you know, become less efficient, of course, but then that affects the other people in the company. If they constantly see on the floor, there's all these new people all the time and you can't keep anyone, that creates a negative, connotation, for lack of a better phrase, or environment within the company, right?
Absolutely. It reminds me, one of our manufacturing clients, when they instituted the program, many of the workers went to the HR director and they said, why are we doing this? And I thought her response was phenomenal. She said, so I can hire people you like and you want to work with.
Yep.
And I think that was just a great answer, because when I'm unhappy in a job, I create, those often becomes problem children within organizations, creates morale issues. You know, I mean, you've got employees that are either detractors, they talk negatively about the company, passives that aren't good. Good or bad.
Yeah.
You want promoters. You want people that say, yeah, I love where I work.
Believers. Yep. And not to mention all the negative reviews now online. I mean, I hear that from, you know, out in the marketplace. It's just the number of companies which they have negative reviews and the impact that has on recruiting. So if you have people turning over and they're unhappy at the company, especially if they're short term, they're going and posting negative stuff on Glassdoor and so on and so forth.
Well, you know, it's happy people tell three others. Unhappy tell 11.
Yeah, I was going to say 10 or something. But yeah, that's right.
Those are the ones that are posting those negative reviews on the company. Yeah. And you're right. When somebody in today's market, where I could, may have five job offers, and I go to look and I see these negative reviews on this company, you know, that's not a place I'm going to go, especially if I'm looking at others and I see good reviews from other companies. I'm going to go in that direction.
Absolutely. Okay, so for a company, because I know you have to run, but if for a company that is interested in Acumex Index, I mean, obviously, I know it's just acumexindex.com, and they can go to the website, but to talk about what it's like to experience and use the software really quick, how they give the assessment to job seekers or candidates for a role, and then what does it feel like and look like for them, and then just, you know, how they pay, is subscription, is it, how does that work?
Yeah, our actual website is www.acumexindex.com.
Correct.
And actually the name it comes from maximum and acumen. So it's maximum insight into people. And you can go to our website and actually request a demo and take a free assessment to give value to yourself. So you can say, hey, whether this, do I think this
And works? Everyone should do it. I can attest for the fact everyone should do it. It is the most accurate thing I've ever seen.
So how we work is with an organization, when we engage with the organization, we give a demo on how to work the software. So that's very simple. We look at existing individuals and roles and then look for the common characteristics of success and then create position wiring patterns for that organization. Now, because we're statistically validated and EEOC compliant, we can be used in the screening process. So companies looking for somebody, there's a link. They can take the assessment, upload their resume. When the data comes in with a press of a button, they can find, is this a good match for this role or not?
Okay.
And sometimes in open hiring fairs where I'm just looking, hospitality is a great role there. I can press a button and say, well, this person applied for this role, but where would they be a better match in my organization? Then once, you know, they're a match, then you bring them in for the interview. Because although I know a lot about the individual, you're not going to know, you know, how they look and, you know, how they act and their verbiage and things like that. Then we can help in the onboarding process. Orientation is not onboarding. So how the person is best onboarded and then how they're best motivated on a daily basis. So it goes beyond just the hire and how we really focus on the individual. But it's all done very, very simply. We make it simple and easy. Because people like simple and easy. I like simple and easy.
Sure.
And the analogy I give is, you know, if it took you 3-day class to learn how to use your cell phone, you probably wouldn't get it. So our software and the training is extremely easy and very functional. And then we're there for support. And, you know, we have one rule. There's no such thing as a bad question. The only bad question is the one you don't ask us. If you're not sure on a candidate, I'd sure rather you give us a call first and talk to us. Then, you know, well, I think they're going to work and then find out they don't.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we have a new client and he became a client because he's a member of a group where there's several of our clients. And they started talking. They said, you know, you got to follow the process because if you don't, and we didn't, we end up with not good results. We kind of learned our lesson. And he got very interested in it. And we've talked about that. And it's the key is follow the process. No matter how much I like somebody or how much they were referred or, you know, if they don't match the wiring for that role, you shouldn't consider it.
Okay, so it's self-service software online. Clients sign up. There's obviously training right on the software.
Absolutely.
You train the client. It's self-service. They learn how to use it. You're there for support and all that kind of thing. And is it just really quick as we finish up, is it just like a flat fee per month, per year? Is it per hires?
What we do is we have unlimited usage software.
Okay.
And the fees are based on the size of the organization. So it becomes extremely cost effective, whether you're a small company. We have clients that have 3-4 people in their company.
Okay.
Because they know the value. And we also have clients that have 3,000. So the fees are adjustable based upon the size of the organization. One of the things we strive for is a positive return on investment with one salaried employee or 1 to 2 hourly employees, regardless of the size of the organization.
No, and that's very attractive and makes sense, especially when some of the assessment products, again, not based in looking at hardwiring, of course, but some of the assessment products out there are, you know, a fee per use. And some of them, you know, they add up really, really quickly and also de-incentivizes the companies from using them, because then they only give them, let's say, to a final couple of people. Whereas with Acumax Index, if it's unlimited use, then as a company, I'm incentivized to use it nonstop. I'm incentivized to use it on every hire, every applicant, every candidate that comes through. I want them taking that assessment.
Absolutely.
And it only takes, I don't know if you said this at the beginning, but it only takes, 5 minutes to take or something, maybe 10 minutes?
It's less than 5 minutes. Our average completion time is a little over 4 minutes.
Okay. I must be just slow. when you gave it to me, I think it was like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, but yeah. So it's very fast. I can attest to that. It's very quick and extremely accurate. That's the amazing thing about Acumax. So
thank you.
Very good. All right. Well, really appreciate you taking the time. And we'll catch up soon enough, I'm sure.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. Good talking with you.
You too. All right. Thank you. All right.